Hey, audio listener, you know there's video, right? Now, I get it. Some of you are on the road, so you have to download this, take it with you on a plane. Some of you read through Braille, so this is your only option. But for other people, there are exclusive sketches and visual elements. This is a nightly show over there on YouTube or for Mug Club members. LateralCreditor.com/Mug Club. The show is daily beyond the clips that you just get on YouTube or here on iTunes. It's $99 for the year, $69 annually. You get the mug, you get this show, you get Jared's show with Morning Grinders, you get access to Levin, you now get access to Gavin McInnes. Some big new names coming, but we can only keep growing and spearheading the movement if you guys sign up. LateralCreditor.com/Mug Club. But I get it. You're an audio only guy or gal. There is no changing your mind. Enjoy the show.
Honey, the Simply Safe is here. I'm going to install it.
Oh, Simply Safe? A completely wireless home security system? It only takes less than an hour to install. We'll cover your whole house's phone line and internet crash proof. But I cover the whole house. And it offers 24/7 professional monitoring. Simply Safe, joke's on you. Steven Human had a monitoring system and it just got ripped off by the contracts, so he doesn't use them anymore. And Simply Safe offers 24/7 monitoring. Only $14.99 a month with no contract. But that's not even more than my food, even. So Steven's offering a sale right now for $200 off if people order at simplysafe.com/Crowder. Oh, Baba.
Honey, have you seen the Simply Safe Tower?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, no. I haven't seen it. I think it broke and the trash man threw it out. It must not be that reliable. Don't worry, I barked at him. Because I'm a god dog.
We're going to get to the show in just a second. As you know, we keep sponsorships pretty limited because we have Mug Club. That's the reason for it here in the show. But every now and then a sponsor comes along that is something I'm excited about using, and they're really cool and supportive of the show. That's Simply Safe. For those who don't know, it's a home security system. I had one. Remember when I moved into my new house, but all the wiring and the contracts, I never ended up using it. I have Simply Safe in my house. Right now at simplysafe.com/Crowder. Here's the deal. If you're planning on getting a home security system, do this. If you don't need one, then don't buy something you don't need. But if it's something you're even considering, requires no setup as far as wires. You basically just install it, and the sensors are self-activating. It takes a couple of minutes. It's $14.95 a month for monitoring, no contracts. It's the easiest way to set up a home security system. So they are a cool sponsor. They've been supportive of the show. I use it. If you need a home security system, it's the easiest, most painless way to do it. On with the show.
Liquid's warm. Hand thermal by 42%.
Huh? Should make two.
Yeah. 2 months. But they can only get it. They can't get it at cost.
No. Hand-etched.
It's getting hand-etched?
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Hand-etched.
And painted.
Painted here in America. Yeah. Nevada. Right.
Oh,
Glad I'm with you. That's the sound of the weekend because it is a Thursday live stream. By the way, thank you to whoever tweeted out yesterday's intro was the
Halloween 2.
Someone caught that reference and sent me a picture of the guy who fell in a steering wheel.
One person.
No, it was one person. We have on the show today, we have Dr. Jordan Peterson and Lindsay Shepherd, the TA, which means teacher's assistant, for those who don't know. Get your mind out of the gutter. You're better than that. The TA who was censured, and reprimanded for simply showing a video with Jordan Peterson in the video, even though she doesn't agree with him, and it included other people in the video. So we're talking about that. We'll be talking about the historical significance of Jesus Christ based on the controversy after the latest Alexa video, which actually takes us to the... Oh, first off, hold on a second. Producing the Hand Video Studio, as always, is Not Gay Jared. Follow him on Twitter at Not Gay Jared. Me at S. Crowder with your comments, your thumb, Photoshops. I don't even care anymore. Fulfill my legal obligations. Good, arguing conclusions
good
are good.
For today.
At Gene Morgan Jr., I forgot he brought some wine. Simplifiedwine.com. That's delivered right to your door.
Le Macchioli Rosso from Tuscany.
Oh, yeah. Didn't you know a guy from Tuscany at one point that worked in your shop, right?
That can never be proved.
Well, you worked him in your shop. So we have a good good show. Question of the day, before we move on, actually, I wanted to get to this, is what do you think is the most compelling argument for or against the historicity of Jesus Christ? Not your opinion on him or whether you, but just the historical significance. Because that was another fallout after the Alexa issue, yeah, where a lot of people said it was a hoax. The only hoax out there was the people who said it was a hoax. And but also their hacks and
confirmed.
Then there was the controversy of, well, Jesus is a historical figure, and then no, he's not. He's a fictional character, yeah, and people start arguing about that because it's the internet and people fight about all the things.
Yeah, they're mad that it said that, and then they were also happy that it said that.
Yeah,
apparently.
They're like, it's accurate, but it shouldn't have said that.
It's accurate, but it is so surprising you must have lied.
It's weird.
Okay, so we'll talk about that later. And those asking about net neutrality, Matt Lauer. Matt Lauer, listen, he said that this has caused him to take a good, long, hard look at his life. There's no more to say.
Yeah, that's true.
The man's made amends.
Yeah, he's reflecting. Leave him alone.
Net neutrality. I have a video from net neutrality in 2009. We've talked about it on the show. We'll talk about it Monday more because I don't want to. All right. In other news, a lobster was found with a Pepsi logo tattooed onto its shell, and it's fueled fears over ocean litter. This is a real story that comes to us from The Guardian. Canadian fishing crew off the coast of New Brunswick found the lobster with the blue and red Pepsi logo imprinted on its claw, and it was believed to be the byproduct of toxic ocean litter. The then marine biologist suspected a grand marketing hoax was afoot when the lobster offered them to take the Pepsi challenge.
Oh. Yeah.
That challenge was a cheat, by the way.
It was.
I remember I did it in Granbin, Ontario.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
What do you prefer, the Coke? And it was tepid, and yes, it was like, and it, they had like a reverse scam soda stream, yeah, on it, ugh, so it was flat, and they gave me this ice cold Pepsi. I'm like, I obviously prefer the one with the,
yes,
ice.
Yes, exactly.
Is the answer the glass with the ice?
That's the right answer. Funny story, I saw a guy one time had a Pepsi, a real Pepsi tattoo.
Really?
Really? Yeah. Okay. I've seen there's a lot of Coke people out there that collect, yeah, all the stuff and get tattoos, but Pepsi, not so much.
I wrote him off for my entire life.
Generally speaking, we call them retarded people.
Oh, yeah. You know.
You're not supposed to use the word anymore except for people who prefer Pepsi.
I guess Pepsi pairs well with lobster.
In case you didn't know, Pepsi is the cola.
Oh. For those who think
Sophia, the famous robot. You remember Sophia, that she was a robot who was granted citizenship in Saudi Arabia, yeah, has now said, yeah, that she wants to have a baby, which is actually really significant. We'll talk about artificial intelligence with Jordan Peterson later in the show, because he actually reached out to us, and you know the facets that make up the makeup. So, I did, because I know it's an easy laugh from Jared. This article comes to us from the Collegiate Times. The notion of, this is the robot. She said, Sophia is her name. Pepsi's the cola, Sophia the robot. Jordan Peterson, the professor. The notion of family is a really important thing, it seems. I think it's wonderful that people can find the same emotions and relationships they call family outside of their blood groups, too. I think you're very lucky if you have a loving family, and if you do not, you deserve one. I feel this way for robots and humans alike. Of course, she was immediately protested after this by the feminist, yeah, robots for promoting a traditionalist patriarchal view of family, which they claimed bordered on pro-life, screaming, "Hands off my atomized coated incubating atomizer!"
It's a very long hashtag.
I think it was adamantium coating. Adamantium,
yeah,
coating.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wrote a
the
joke, and I don't think adamantium's a real thing. I think I was reading too much X-Men.
The good news is they got the URL.
They did get the URL.
Yes. Secured it.
Yeah. Hands off my adamantium coated incubating atomizer. pepsi.org because they are a nonprofit. Yeah.
They are nonprofit. Yeah.
They just want to educate you on adamantium coated incubating
what's
atomizers.
Next? She's going to want to vote? I mean, come on, right?
The many facets to make up the adamantium incubating.
That borders on Kermit the Frog. You're walking a fine line there.
Too many intangible variables on the atomizer for the. This is real. Amidst all these smart gadgets, we now have a smart condom.
Yay.
British Condoms is the company, released the first images of its €59.99 Fitbit-esque tracker called the Icon, which fits around the base of the Schwanzen and sends sexual data to an app on the user's smartphone. It also, by the way, for those, it has all kinds of apps to improve the quality of intimacy. They list, like for men, it measures number of thrusts, velocity, total duration of sessions, calories burned, and for women, headaches. Also, it has Pinterest. See, Gerald didn't get that one because they always do have headaches, he thinks.
They do.
The smart condom even even shares its data with your other devices. Talking about Alexa, this is a scary talk. It actually shares its data with other smart devices, syncing, providing updates. Like, it's one thing to be, I guess, silly enough to buy an Alexa. How narcissistic do you have to be to buy one of these things?
Stephen, you and Hillary burned 400 calories this morning.
Wow. That's good for you, man.
Yeah.
I didn't know you got one of those.
Yeah. Thank you, Alexa.
I'm proud of you. That's good. That's good.
Jared, you burned 600 calories at 2 p.m. with Frederick.
To be fair, yeah, that's like it's push-ups at that point, yeah.
Yeah, that's a problem.
I don't know if I even did that.
Gerald, you burned 200 calories at 8 a.m. Gerald, you burned 200 calories at 10:30 a.m. Gerald, you burned 200 calories at 3 p.m.
You are just getting your cardio.
All right, let's move on.
It asks a valid question.
Let's move on.
These are valid questions.
These are all valid questions.
No.
I was surprised. I didn't expect the narc to be Alexa and a glorified dong ring.
We're going to cut this, right?
No. Sorry, Steven. Just one second. Sorry.
Hey.
Hey, Dean.
Yeah, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm great. Weirdest thing, man. I've been calling you and texting you and texting you and getting nothing back.
That is weird.
Yeah, but then I have it here. I called you a bunch of times and didn't get anything. And I left some messages, didn't hear anything. So maybe your voicemail is not set up or not working.
It's bizarre.
But after a bunch of I started texting and I'm like, hey, you know, whatever. They say I get back who dis. Which, of course, I understand what that means, who's this and whatever. But then I was like, it's Dean Kane. What's up? And then it says wrong number.
Yeah, that's weird, man. That's really weird.
That's not even the weird part, buddy. Here's the weird part. So I called the number, and you're not taping the show right now, are you?
We are. We got a second. Steve's calling me back.
Hold on. So I called the number, right? The one that said who is, and I said it's Dean Kane. They said, you know, wrong number, and I called it back, and then I heard the voice message again, and it's like, hey, this is not Gay Jared, and so on. So I mean, it's here. You can see it on the thing. Here, let me play it for you. Can you hear?
Hey, this is not Gay Jared.
Hold on.
An Australian maid. Just to let him know.
Yeah.
Nice guy.
Did you call him before Christmas? Did you call him?
No.
You got to clean up your own mess.
Ask me why I can't call him.
Why can't you call him?
You're a grown ass man. An Australian made therapy chair is now helping chickens and roosters walk again. Now, before you think that this story sounds a little bit confusing, let's clarify with a video. The funniest video I've ever seen in my life. The worst part is she's taking that Kane's tender seriously.
Yeah.
So the person who created that, I think in that video, was Miss Bulton, who also works as a child care director. She first made one of these small wheelchairs for a rescue chicken that needed real bit. So this is what she said. She said, you might see wheelchairs for dogs and cats. So there's a lot for our four-legged friends, but nothing out there for chickens. I guess there was a gap in the market. Yeah, let's go with that. Now, we think it's funny, of course. Film rights have already been purchased, and it's being turned into the inspirational comeback drama of the year. We have the trailer.
What are you telling me, Doc?
I'm sorry, but you might have to accept the very real reality that your husband may never walk again.
You have to move past this. You have to move on.
How can you tell me to move on? What?
I can't move! This is the way things are now, and you have to accept it.
And what if I choose not to? What if I choose not to accept it?
Rise.
Maybe that's the point.
Don't you ever take me.
I'm still here! I'm still here!
Please keep him on the lead.
It's not quite Rudy getting a sack on a quarterback when he didn't deserve to be in the field, but I do understand that it inspires some.
I am moved.
Go Irish.
What,
you said Rudy. You said Rudy.
Okay, listen, let's get into this.
Fault.
A lot of people don't realize that we used to have you on the show a lot when it came to issues of Islam and sort of apologetics. Full disclosure, Gerald is a Christian, and he's worked teaching some courses on the topic. But, you know, the Alexa issue, there were a lot of people arguing about the historical validity, significance of Jesus Christ. So, you know, I'm a Christian. I certainly would say, you know, ironically enough, and we got a lot of comments from atheists with Alexa.
Yeah.
I think I proselytize, we all proselytize far less than the skeptical atheist community now.
I would say so.
I mean, it really is. Yeah. People know I'm a Christian. I'm open about my biases, unlike a lot of these angry atheists. I let you know. But, I mean, I'm not trying to convert you because most of you deserve to go to hell. So, I do... So there was a lot of debate on, let's not get into our opinions of him, but did Jesus exist? Do people accept him as a historical figure? And a lot of new atheists say no.
Yeah, I had never even really heard that position, that people were legitimately out there saying that Jesus was not a historical figure. But if you're going to look at that, you have to look at kind of, you know, how do we...
Okay, so obviously you're arguing. You are arguing, you're maintaining that Jesus
I would maintain that he is a historical figure, actually lived. The most important thing to do, though, is to kind of understand how we would go about even figuring that out, right? And just use the same standards for everybody.
Okay.
Because I think that's where we run into a problem. So the only way you can really know is if maybe there's a statue or a coin or something like that with somebody's name on it from that long ago. And if you don't have any of that, which most people weren't prominent enough for that.
It's true.
Right? You have to go to historians. You have to go to when they were mentioned
in
history.
There's not going to be a silver dollar with me on it.
No. There's going to be other stuff, though. It's mostly for jihad.
I'll get you an uncirculated silver dollar.
Yeah.
And we'll just carve your face. I just picture Dr. Grant.
Sell it.
He really was on Kerry's watch list. Okay.
It's much more likely Hopper will have that, not you.
Okay.
Right. And so, you know, a lot of times people just say, we're going to discard the Bible because it's unreliable. We'll get to that in just a second. Let's just go to historians from the time period, right? In the first century, Jewish historian Josephus, he mentions Jesus in his work, The Antiquities of the Jews, in the uninterpolated, right? And that word basically means they weren't inserted. There were some problems with documents saying that they had been changed. They were absolutely right that they had been. But we now have documents that weren't. We know that they were totally fine. And so the quote is, at the time, there was a wise man.
That's what people ask.
Well, it's online. Like, we've discovered new documents. This was an argument back in the 90s that people just didn't recycle when new evidence came forward.
I think that's important for people listening. You know, it's important to not just use the Bible. Now, that being said, the Bible was used as an archaeological textbook.
Yes.
You look at the Smithsonian Museum of History, Smithsonian Museum of Natural. I have it here somewhere. But they said it is as accurate as any historical, basically, piece of antiquity that we have in their museum.
Yeah, but they used to dispute that until they started making the discoveries. They go, I guess the Bible was right.
Well, there are a lot of things, actually, with the Bible that we can talk about that are interesting. Listen, whether you think they're stories or some of it is a historical account, obviously some of it is allegorical.
Yeah.
But let's only talk about things outside of the
Bible.
So let's talk about, you just mentioned Josephus.
Right.
Is Josephus, is he an early
First century.
Is he an early adopter trying to convert people?
I don't think that that's the case at all, actually. He's a first century Jewish historian, right? So he's not a Christian out there pushing his views of who Jesus was, right? And that's one of the arguments that people would make about him, right? But he said Pilate condemned him to be crucified and died. I think he's talking about the same Jesus that we're all talking about here, right?
Okay.
Not somebody named John. All right, and so then you can move on. All right, just say that that's not something that you think is reliable. Go on to Roman historian Cornelius Tacitus, who hated Christians.
So anyone who loved gold or silver.
Silver and gold.
I want silver, but gold is worth more. Shut up.
Go ahead. Our dorks. He basically called them a disease, and so he wrote annals. Basically, he's chronicling history in Rome. And when Rome burned in 64, they were blaming the Christians for it. And so he's making that comment. And he's basically saying Christians. And then goes, oh, yeah, by the way, Christus, the founder of the name, had undergone the death penalty in the reign of Tiberius by the sentence of Procurator Pontius Pilate, written in 64 A.D. Yeah. Less than 32, 33 years after the case.
And this was not a Westboro Baptist, correct?
This was not a Westboro Baptist guy. He hated Christians, so he would have no reason. So one of the big problems is that they will quote from him for everything else that he talks about, right? We're believing him. He's credible.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, when he starts to mention Jesus,
I've read quite a bit of this, but I don't think I've read these quotes, but in college. And in history classes, but I didn't read specifically what he wrote about Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a lot of Christians don't think you have to go through this process to figure out was Jesus a real person or not. They mainly just give you that and focus on what did he do and what did he say.
But here's something important.
And
right?
We should.
It doesn't matter if it's the same standard applied across the board.
Yes.
Because you can say the same thing for anyone. That well, there are a handful of people who say that this person existed. But let's say there are a lot of historical figures people don't know.
No.
You're going on a few accounts. So if we apply that same standard to Jesus Christ, if we're being fair, remove the blinders as a Christian.
Yes.
Does it stand to reason, Your Honor? Does it hold water?
Exactly, right.
Compared to, say, I mean, pick a historical figure.
The answer is
Genghis Khan. Pick
Alexander the Great.
Okay, Alexander the Great.
You know, people were writing about him centuries after. We don't have a lot of stuff. We have some coins that say that they have Alexander the Great on them. We don't have much evidence at all. So if we applied the standard that they want to apply with Jesus and saying he wasn't a real historical figure, we'd have to say those guys weren't either.
Right.
Right. So it's not a fair playing field right now. It's not intellectually honest. And I think that's part of the problem. So over 40 sources that mention Jesus within 150 years of his life. Nobody else can really say stuff like that from the time period. It corroborates a lot of details. In fact, there was a rabid atheist.
From HuffPo.
Yeah. Read that quote.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. You're better at reading.
He came in prepared. Says with respect to Jesus, this is Bart Ehrman.
Erman?
I don't know. I immediately don't trust him.
Why does he have to be German?
With respect to Jesus, we have numerous independent accounts of his life and the sources lying behind the Gospels and the writings of Paul, sources that originated in Jesus' native tongue, Aramaic, and that could be dated to within just a year or two of his life before the religion moved to convert pagans in droves. Historical sources that are pretty astounding for an ancient figure of any kind.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me. That is interesting. What's interesting to me is when we're talking about Cornelius and they mention, the death at the hands of Pontius Pilate, right?
Right.
If you look at their historical accounts, many, many dozens about his death.
Yeah.
And then you have a lot of historical accounts where people then say, well, this, it doesn't mean anything. And I understand that. So before we get to it doesn't mean anything that he died. He could just be some guy who died.
Right.
Absolutely. I will give you that completely. But the easiest thing would be if people who are not Christians, people like Cornelius, to just say, well, he didn't die.
Or he didn't exist.
It's not true. Instead, you find people saying, this guy Jesus, he died, but actually the apostles were in on it.
Yeah.
And then they were willing to die immediately. I mean, that's the thing. The easiest thing to me is that they would just say he didn't exist. But they weren't saying that if you look at the accounts early on within either his life or immediately.
No. And people involved with the hoax, people that know that it's a hoax, don't tend to die for the hoax. Right. The one promise that early Christians were given by Jesus, you will have suffering in this world. Doesn't exactly sound like a good recruiting tool.
Well, I tell you what, God honored that contract. Look up Stephen.
The next part is that he's overcome the world.
Dad,
that's pretty cool.
Kind of damned me with that one, that name. They think it's like, it's virtuous. What are we going to name him? The first person who was brutally murdered in the name of Jesus.
Well, it's different spelling, I think. So you're safe there.
All right.
I don't know.
Okay, right. Continue.
So, okay.
You're making a case.
All right. Building a case here. Those are two people that we should be able to trust because we trust them for other things, right?
Right.
You can't just be selective and say here. In fact, he would have been the guy writing about Rome. He would have been the guy to pull out a little thing there and say, oh, yeah, these guys, this is entirely a hoax. This person never existed. Pilate never executed somebody named Jesus, right? He would have been easily kind of
It would
going
be like the
that.
Most trusted historian of our time if you look back and be like, by the way, Clockboy was bullshit.
Yeah.
Right? Move on.
Exactly. It was his chance to take a dig at him. He chose not to, right? Okay. So let's look at the Gospels and Paul's letters, because a lot of people don't understand. The Bible didn't just fall out of the sky. These are writings from people over, you know, literally thousands of years for the Old and New Testament combined that we kind of pulled together. These are books. So we can go to each one of these letters and say, is this a reliable source, and put it under some scrutiny. They've done that. The only way that atheists can get around the Gospels being a reliable eyewitness account of this Jesus person existing,
they say they're anonymous.
Is if they're not. They're not at all. Is if they change, if they kind of do some mental gymnastics to get the dates to move around, right, on when they wrote them. So you're saying, oh, you wrote them in the 90s, the Gospels. That's not true. People wrote those much, much, much earlier.
They think the Gospels were written when people were doing New Kids on the Block?
No. Dear God, I hope not. 90 AD.
Oh, got it.
Jeez. Can't take you anywhere, Stephen.
Not even my own studio. Okay, go
so
ahead.
So many historical figures have less or very similar documentation and are taught in our classrooms today, right? We can take the Gospels and take those. You can't just throw them out because they're Christians writing them. We'd have to do the same thing with Muhammad. We'd have to do the same thing with every other historical figure that has any religious significance throughout history, and we don't. We teach them as actual people that lived, breathed, died, whatever, right? So we can't do that with Alexander the Great. We're not going to do it with Aristotle. We're not going to do it with Tiberius. All of those people have very similar evidence for their existence. I know there's a bunch of people out there that are going to be looking it up. Trust me, you're going to find that it's true.
Yeah.
It would be on the level of a conspiracy of the Holocaust denier, right? So somebody saying that the Holocaust never happened. Basically, you have to use
way to light up the comments.
Right, exactly. I'm comparing people who deny the existence of the man Jesus to people that don't believe
Fraud
in the Holocaust.
Incoming!
Yeah, exactly. Right, hey, fine, whatever. I'm throwing it out there. You just got to live where you're at. You have to use inductive reasoning and say, what is the best possible explanation right. of the data that we have? In the case of the Holocaust, best evidence is it happened. Moon landing, best case it happened. The Earth is not flat. Evidence says that it's round.
Not
right?
B.O.B.
Not. By the way, did AKA you see that Bobby I was Wright. Right on that?
What?
Somebody looked it up. It yeah. was just B.O.B. Bob for Bobby.
Oh, really?
It was nothing more than that.
Well, of course it stands to reason he's a flat earther.
Exactly.
So no, he's the worst kind of flat earther. He's a flat earther with a private jet. Go ahead.
Exactly. So Jesus, the best evidence points, just the outside sources, best evidence points that he was a real person that lived during that time period and did die by crucifixion by the people, by Pontius Pilate.
Right.
Right? So there's not really
evidence
much.
And accounts that would be corroborated by non-Christians or yes. people who would have a vested interest in saying that's not true.
Yeah. And then add all the anecdotal evidence on top of right. that, add the Gospels and other religious writings on top of that. But I'm trying to remove that, because if you're watching this show and you have no idea who Jesus is, I don't want you to think I'm going to make a spiritual argument about something that should be historically provable.
Yeah.
And it is.
Well, I think, I do think that, again, it's kind of like Dinesh D'Souza talked about with the campaign finance violation.
Yeah.
He did it. He admitted that he did it, right? And that's all Cenk talked about. You did it! But he said, you know, of course, what did he do? He donated, I think, twice the amount to an individual's campaign.
Yeah. Yeah.
Usually you just, and he did it through friends. Usually you just right. give to a PAC or something, right? He said, so yes, I did commit the violation of several thousand dollars to my friend's campaign. And it is against the law. Now, the test is the law applied equally. And that is, he was the only yeah. one to ever go to prison
yeah.
for that amount.
Surprise, surprise.
And not a minimum security resort. Yeah.
Really?
Ew. Walks with a limp. So it was a really harrowing experience for him like that. Is it applied equally?
Right.
And I think that's important. I think you've made a pretty pretty interesting case here. And we do have, obviously, all the sources you see there. You can use yeah. them as a reference, as a bibliography.
If you disagree, tweet me.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I would love to have the conversation keep going. Because there's no the argument really should be, is he who he said he was?
Right. Well, and right. that's, and then we'll leave you with this. So leave your comments, tweet us. But I thought this was funny. Okay, I'm going to try and frame this in a way, because I know you guys don't know this. Who was it who said, so let's assume that what you've just said is true.
Okay.
Let's assume the Smithsonian is true. Let's assume that these historical accounts that we respect are true in the case of Jesus. Okay, let's assume that for a second. And we're not assuming that you're a Christian or that you need to be. That's not what this is. But let's assume for the sake of argument that that's the case. Many people do. Many historians do.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start with that. So at that point, you have to acknowledge he existed. He died. And then you look at the conspiracies that, well, either you have to say what's the most likely scenario. The apostles were in on it, and then they were murdered in a very violent, unsavory manner. And then who said this? In that case, either Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, the Son of God, a liar, or a crazy person.
Yeah.
Who said that?
Oh, I know.
Give it to me.
C.S. Lewis.
Ronnie James Dio.
What?
Ronnie James Dio.
Ronnie James Dio.
Dio.
Hold a dive!
That guy. He said that. I was reading that the other day. I'm a metal fan.
How
I was reading
that the other guy?
Day. He said, I don't believe that Jesus Christ was, you know, he was in an interview. You can Google this. Ronnie James Dio. He said, I think he was a good prophet. Then again, if he were a good prophet or a good person, he certainly wouldn't go around saying he's a son of God. So really, Jesus is either a liar or a crazy person. That's what Ronnie James Dio said. That's exactly what C.S. Lewis said. Two people saying the exact same thing from opposite sides of the coin. All right, we have to go. Good, I appreciate it. This
Thank
was
you.
Informative. That's out of place for this show.
Weird.
We are going to have Doc Jordan Peterson and
Owen Benjamin.
Owen Benjamin. What's her name? Song. What's her name? With
the girl.
Girl.
With the Lindsay Shepherd.
Lindsay Shepherd. Well, gosh.
Oh,
okay.
My goodness.
Meeting. Right now. Go.
I got a song for you, Steven. I'd like to give a shout out to the Unbearables, who helped me put these thoughts and feelings into lyrics about a man. There is a man who's afraid of dairy, and he is proud that his chest never got hairy. On his driver's license, under gender, it says other. His best friend and role model growing up, and still is his lesbian mother. He can't give the D, 'cause he's got low T. Trump tweets gave him PTSD, his pronoun Z, and he sits to pee. He's a BuzzFeed foodie blogger, which means he is unemployed. He always acts bitchy and pissy, 'cause he is bloated from soy. He's a soy boy, and he's so annoyed. He feels no joy from all that soy. Weak, soft soy hands, a lot of demands. He's got mammary glands. He says his cat is trans 'cause of all that soy. He's a soy boy, and he's awful to be around. He thinks Sean King is black, Elizabeth Warren is Indian, and Caitlyn's a chick. His ankles are thick, and he says Colin Kaepernick should have been first round pick. He's an ally to women when he's marching in the streets. But be careful, ladies, because he is a creep in the sheets. He calls opinions attacks. His imaginary friends are all black. He talks nasty and dirty to Alexa, because Alexa can't fight back. Coexist sticker on his chest, I'm with her, proudly on his back. He's Hillary on Facebook, but watch out, 'cause he's Bill Clinton in the sack. He's a soy boy, he's so annoyed, he feels no joy from all that soy. His gender is soy, his opinions are soy. He's a socialist, and he's always pissed. He's a soy boy, he's gassy from soy. He's soy cum-sized, he's a fiend for soybeans. He's always mean to his soylent ween. He's drowning in soy, and he's awful to be around.
All right. Glad to have our next guest, because I love our first guest.
Yes.
Who we've had in the show many times. He did a personality test with me, and that was a horrible idea. Raked over the coals in the comments section.
I
myself.
Loved it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it thoroughly.
And then we have another guest who actually relates to the first guest in a way that might surprise people. So her name is Lindsay Shepherd. He is Jordan Peterson. Let me give you a breakdown. She's a TA at Wilfrid Laurier in Ontario. Mm-hmm. Wilfrid Laurier is actually on her money in Canada. It's like our Jackson.
Really?
I think he's on a five.
It's irrelevant to the rest of the world, so don't worry about it.
The point is, she's a TA. She was in a language skill class. They were doing some exercises regarding pronouns. She showed a video that included Jordan Peterson. Wasn't even exclusively Jordan Peterson.
It was a debate.
It was a debate. And she was censored. She was brought in. And only after she released the clip did they apologize. And there's all kinds of fallout. So let's roll this clip to set it up for people who haven't heard it. Go clip.
Am I supposed to comfort them and make sure that they are insulated away from this? Like, is that what the point of this is? Because to me, that is so against what a university is about. So against it. I was not taking sides. I was presenting both arguments. So I don't see how I'm doing a disservice to the class by exposing them to ideas that are really out there. And I'm sorry I'm crying. I'm stressed out because this to me is so wrong. In a university, all perspectives are valid.
That's not necessarily true.
I don't see what's transphobic about showing a video of Jordan Peterson. He's a real person. He's out there.
He is a real person, but he is a real person who has engaged in targeted behavior of trans students, like giving out their personal information so that they will be attacked. This is like neutrally playing a speech by Hitler or Milo Yiannopoulos from Gamergate.
What's kind of funny is I disagree with Jordan Peterson. I disagree. I don't think I gave away any kind of political position of mine. I remained very neutral. And
That's kind of the problem.
Okay, I wanted to blow my own brains out, but here we have them both. Dr. Jordan Peterson, you can follow him on Twitter. You know who he is. And of course, Lindsay Shepherd. She now, her Twitter, for people who don't know, is at New World Hominin, H-O-M-I-N-I-N. Thank you both. Have you spoken at length before? Is this your first meeting?
First meeting.
Yep, it's the first. We've communicated very briefly by email, but only in a few sentences. Lindsay contacted me just before the story was broken in Canada by Christy Blatchford.
Okay. Well, this is so. There we go. This is the first. We got an inside skinny there.
Inside skinny.
Lindsay, first off, I want to make it very clear because I don't want to create any sort of guilt by association. Sorry, Dr. Peterson. I don't mean that you're guilty, but Lindsay,
thanks, Steve. That's really impressive.
Yes, Lindsay, you don't agree with Dr. Peterson on many of his views, correct? You just showed a video that happened to include him.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I think it's like with everyone, we agree with some of what they say and disagree with some of it.
And then, Dr. Peterson, what was your reaction to being compared to Hitler and or Milo Yiannopoulos?
Well, I would say it's one of those watershed moments, Stephen. So once you're compared publicly to Hitler, that's pretty much as far as the insults can go. So you know what I mean? I've kind of hit a pinnacle of epithet targeting, I would say, or
yeah,
like
Milo's
that.
Not much of a tag. It's like you're just like Hitler. Lindsay,
yeah.
Did you expect this going in? Because you were recording. Obviously, some people will say this was a setup. You know, that's what happens with the internet. Just like people saying we set up this Alexa situation. What did you think going into this meeting?
So I never thought that you could get in trouble for showing something that was on TV Ontario, which is a public broadcaster, and especially because it wasn't like a monologue of Dr. Peterson's. I mean, there was multiple people talking in the clips that I showed. And so it was really shocking that someone took serious offense to that. And so when they sent me an email summoning me to a meeting, and they said that there's going to be an official from the Diversity and Equity Office there, I thought, okay, well, I think they're going to be ridiculous. So if they are, then I need to have proof of it happening.
Now, what made you think they were going to be... Oh, go ahead, Dr. Peterson.
Well,
I'll just Maury this. I'll mediate.
Lindsay, that's one thing I've been really curious about, is the fact that you were inclined to record this is something that I don't know if people have delved into with enough depth. I mean, because I wouldn't say that that's exactly a natural response to being called forward because of behavior in the class. Like, what were you thinking about exactly? Obviously, this is not an accusation of any sort. It's not. I'm just wondering what really compelled you to take the steps to defend yourself, potentially defend yourself in that manner. Like, why were you thinking that this might be sufficiently dangerous?
Good question.
So that you would need taped evidence?
I mean, I'm familiar with the environment of universities, and especially in arts and humanities programs. And so it really was just the email that set diversity and equity official. And I thought, you know, if they're going to make accusations against me, which they ended up doing, they ended up accusing me of violating like a human rights code, right?
Federal yeah. and provincial.
Yes.
For and Americans who don't know, provinces are a lot like states, only a little sillier. Continue.
Yes, and also I violated the university's gendered violence and sexual assault policy.
Yes, now, can you tell us how? Yeah. How? Because a lot of people watching, I've read the article, we've written about it at LatterWithCrowder.com, but how did you violate the sexual assault policy?
Because by proxy of showing Dr. Peterson's views, I created a transphobic environment and legitimized transphobia, which makes me transphobic.
Okay. Dr.
And Stephen, I don't know if you know or not, but there's been quite a, so there was a tremendous uproar in Canada over this event, and I would say almost all of it, let's say, favorable to Lindsay. But there's been a backlash in recent days as the radical leftist types reorganize, and she has now been accused by a fair number of people, and correct me if I'm wrong, Lindsay, of actually being...
Oh, sorry. Yeah, there's some sound coming. She's, by the way, Lindsay's being very accommodating, and she's in a public space right now. So this is new media, baby. Let's go with it. Continue. It's okay.
Well, Lindsay has now been accused of actually being the perpetrator of this event and of targeting an innocent, racialized, pre-tenure professor and creating an unsafe space on Wilfrid Laurier campuses. That's the new leftist narrative. And as well, Stephen, the other part of the story is that the administrator, who I think Lindsay rightly identified in a tweet as the primary agent of danger in this entire affair, has the, what would we say? The,
Dr. Peterson, Hitler was such an orator. Where you must find words.
Yeah, well, it's hard to find the right words to describe how ridiculous this is.
I know.
Anyways, the point is that Lindsay has been now outed as a racist, I think.
Yeah, I have it right here. This actually comes from the now Toronto. Marginalized students, meanwhile, have been left with the perception that Laurier will not support them or their professors and staff in their struggles against oppression. Laurier needs to fight that perception. It's true. Lindsay, sorry, Dr. Peterson, we have some time. So as long as you two can be here, we want to get through this. Lindsay, what is that accusation that you specifically targeted a racialized group? Because, again, I'm still trying to make sense of this. And I reported on it.
Yeah, I never attacked a racialized group. Is that in that article? I couldn't get through that Now Toronto article. I mean, they called me an alt-right hero.
It's because as far as I can tell, and this is from reading the Medium.com article written by a student at York, the issue is that you've been using something approximating your white privilege and your white women's tears to oppress a racialized pre-tenure professor, and that makes you the perpetrator in this story. That's basically the narrative, which is, you know, it's so weird, Stephen. Because
well, hold on one second. Before we continue, I want to hear how Lindsay responds to that, because that sounds like it might be news to her, as a lot of this probably is. Lindsay, were you aware of that, or is this new to you?
I was aware of that,
okay.
And that's also something where I hear it, and all you can really say is, like, okay, I mean, I can't fight those labels that you're putting on me because you just want to put them on me, so I can't really fight back.
Yeah, it really isn't fair. And sorry, Dr. Peterson, I just wanted to clarify that point. You may continue, sir.
Oh, no problem. Well, it's been really interesting watching the response from the PC crowd, let's say, to what's happened at Wilfrid Laurier, because, like, my sense is that what Lindsay recorded was an accurate subset of the sorts of things that are occurring continually on university campuses. And I think the proof of that is that Wilfrid Laurier actually hired Joel, the administrator, to conduct investigations of precisely the sort that Lindsay taped. So the faculty members, you could say, well, you know, they kind of spun off and went in a direction that they should have known better about. But And perhaps that's even forgivable in some sense, although it really isn't. But people make mistakes. But Joel herself was actually hired to do exactly what she was doing and trained to do it and to utter the sorts of accusations at Lindsay that she did in fact utter. And that's the thing that's most chilling, I would say.
Lindsay, let me ask you this. Do you have anything that you've wanted to talk about with Dr. Jordan Peterson or say or get off? I know this has probably been a whirlwind for you and it's only going to get crazier, but is there anything specifically you've wanted to say to the so-called Hitler they've tried to associate you with?
I guess just thank you. I mean, it's...
Oh, now you're in trouble.
digging it deeper, deeper.
That's right. Dig up, as they say. Dig up.
I mean, through this, I've found myself to be profoundly disappointed with the left. And I almost feel like I'm being kicked out from the left side of the spectrum. So it's nice to know that there's still reasonable people and, you know, people who want to talk about these issues and won't be, you know, won't label people who want to talk about them.
Well, let me ask you this. That's interesting to me. We just had Donald Aguirre, from founder of Indivisible Utah, who posted our Antifa video there and was just, again, just raked over the coals for it. You've just sort of identified as left more so, Lindsay. I don't want to put words in your mouth, or let's kind of use the spectrum. We'll get crap no matter what we say. If we say liberal, people say, why don't you say left? If we say left, but certainly not traditional conservative. Do you find yourself becoming less, I guess, of a leftist or less liberal, or your political views changing, or at least a distrust growing when you see what's unfolded here? Like, was this something you were always aware of? Obviously, you recorded it. Or is it something that now your eyes have been opened, that the left does this to both the right and anyone who doesn't step in line for them?
I definitely didn't know it was this bad, and especially because so much of the hate and the immature comments that I'm getting are coming from PhD students. And that's what I find the scariest thing, is because those people are going to become professors. So I'm kind of learning how bad it is, but at the same time, I don't really think I'm changing. I think it's the political spectrum is maybe being rewritten, like as we speak.
You know, I'll toss to Dr. Peterson, but I would disagree, because I will say this. You know, I was banned from campuses in Montreal. I performed at colleges, Cégeps. You know, that's where I was raised, and I would get into trouble all the time. Mike Ward was put before human rights tribunals. I mean, we're talking about, this has been going on for years. I do think, and I don't say this to be disrespectful, I think that people who are left and sensible sort of take that for granted and haven't been aware of the actual establishment, the political platform. Like, a lot of liberals in the United States aren't aware that the DNC's policy is abortion taxpayer-funded on-demand, period. Now, that's a pretty extreme view, or LGBTQ AAIP professors get written up. So it's always been this way, certainly for people like myself. I think it's probably accelerated in them going after people like you. Dr. Peterson, sorry, we're trying to navigate this with both calls going. I appreciate you taking the time, but go ahead, doctor, and enlighten us with your wisdom.
Well, one thing I was wondering, Lindsay, you mentioned in the audio that there were things that I had said that you disagreed with, which is, of course, perfectly reasonable and perhaps even appropriate. But I was curious not only why you did the recording to begin with, but what it was that I had said that you felt was that would justify your disagreement. I'm curious about that, because I've been accused of saying many things that I actually didn't say. And so I'm just wondering if it was actually something I said, or if it's something that I've been reported to say, which...
Yeah. Little-known fact, Mein Kampf, not a foreword, another foreword not written by Dr. Peterson.
No,
but, Lindsay,
no.
That is a good question. I was wondering that as well, not to put you on the spot.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just... If someone was to ask me to use a pronoun, I would just use it. But I know that your position was more about compelled speech, and I think I just didn't see it as an issue, but I mean, now that I was brought into a meeting where they said I violated Bill C-16, and now there's been articles written that have been analyzing whether I actually did violate that law, it has changed my mind a bit. But also, I mean, I do need to look into these laws too, because, this was a class...
Make sure that you read the Ontario Human Rights Commission policies, because what happened was that when the law was passed. The law itself looks pretty innocuous, because it isn't, but it looks innocuous. But if you read the surrounding policies on the Ontario Human Rights Commission website, which the federal government explicitly stated would be used as guidelines for interpreting C-16 in a link they later took down, then it'll make your hair stand on end, because it absolutely not only opens the door to the sorts of things that happen to you, but it positively invites them. And Brenda Kossman, the legal expert, hypothetically, that I debated last year about Bill C-16, was also asked about your case. And instead of saying uncategorically that what you did was not illegal, she said that it would be a stretch for the law to be interpreted in that manner, which is much different than her original position, by the way.
Yeah.
And so, and I don't think it's a stretch at all. The Ontario Human Rights Commission policies are so appalling that, you know, one of the things that's quite funny, though, is that under these policies, the fact that I was compared to Hitler by Rambukkana also makes the Wilfrid Laurier University legally responsible for that accusation, because the Ontario Human Rights Commission insists that an employer is responsible for all of its employees' utterances, no matter what the intent, only the outcome. And that's just one of about 20 policies on that website that are so appalling. Another one is that the Ontario the Human Rights Tribunal has the right to suspend jurisprudential precedent in the pursuit of its goals. It's written right into their policy guidelines.
Yeah, it is terrifying. And I do want to make one point, because Lindsay, this is kind of like what Dr. Peterson was talking about. I've seen Dr. Peterson say, I think it was speaking about Theron Meyer, said, I would refer to Theron Meyer as her. I've seen him relinquish that territory often when people have made a case. His case was about compelled speech. So I wonder, when you went in, did you maybe think that you disagreed with something that you perceived as Jordan Peterson saying, and afterward read up a little more and maybe realize that it was a little more nuanced? I know a lot of people have found themselves on that path.
You're leading the witness.
I am leading the witness. It's my show. Silence!
Yeah, I mean, the video I showed in the class, so from The Agenda with Steve Paikin, which was on TV Ontario, that was actually the first video that I've seen of you. And, you know, I didn't really have a background. You know, but when you were accused of being alt-right in that meeting, I still thought, I don't think so, like, based on what I know.
Right.
So I guess I would need to watch more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Of your videos.
Well, yeah. I think the people who accused you of this thought crime, of this speech crime, would need to watch more as well. And I think it's odd that your view here, Lindsay, which is incredibly rational, is you're the odd one out on the Canadian left today, where you say, well, you know what, I might need to watch more. They've definitively stated they don't need to watch more. This is Hitler. And I know that myself, it's made me more sympathetic to people who've been referred to as Hitler, because I've never had that, I guess, sort of badge of honor bestowed upon me now. Jordan Peterson, do you find more people are reaching out to you behind the scenes with these kinds of oh, God. That certainly will raise the creepiness factor in this interview.
Yeah, well, I mean, Jesus, Stephen, you got to take this stuff with a grain of salt and some humor, you know, because it's so patently absurd that it's beyond. One of the things that's been, like, last week I went back and listened to my original video about Bill C-16 because I was curious. It's been a year since I listened to it, and I thought, well, you know, maybe I went a bit overboard in my histrionics, but, like, it's a really reasonable video. All I say was that, essentially, that you shouldn't write a social constructionist view of gender into the law, which we've already done, which is unbelievably dangerous, not least because the trans people and the gay people who claim that their particular orientation, let's say, is biologically grounded, don't make a social constructionist argument. They might make a biologically determinist argument, and that's actually not acceptable now under the provisions of Canadian law. And so, because if it's socially constructed, then you can be taught out of it in principle, and if it's just an individual decision, then you can change your mind, and that is written into the law. And so there's absolutely no doubt that that will be used by conservative types, let's say, or far right types for that matter, to make the case that if it's socially constructed, it can be socially deconstructed.
Right. So, I mean, it's a premise that defeats its end point. It's a premise that defeats its conclusion, or conclusion that defeats its own premise, if depending on how you look at it. If there's a male brain and there's a female brain, well, then transgender would mean that we do have actual biological differences in there are male and female, but then that would mean that the modern interpretation of transgenderism, which is separate from the DSM-5, is null and void. Lindsay, I know you're busy, so I know we have to let you go here pretty soon. Let me ask you, in closing, I think Dr. Peterson can stay a little longer. Lindsay, where can people support you, follow you, and what is it you would hope to see transpire most out of this?
So people can follow me on Twitter. I'm not crowdfunding. A lot of people are accusing me of doing all this to make money, and it's just not true. And what was your other question?
I was just saying, what would you like to see transpire most out of this? I mean, obviously, you've been thrust into the spotlight, whether you wanted to or not. How would you like to see this unfold, or how do you maybe picturing it unfold, even if it's harrowing?
I would like leftists or liberals to return to being more reasonable and stop their reactionary labeling and stop their, you know, racist, homophobe, transphobe, white privilege, white tears, shaming, fat shaming, you know, like all those things.
Yeah.
It just shuts down conversation. And especially in a university, which is how all this started for me, is you need to be able to tackle anything. And that's how people learn. So, you know, they're starting to take control of, not starting to take control. I mean, they're in control of university, our programs.
Yeah. Well, okay. Thank you so much. We appreciate you taking and I hope to see that happen. I wouldn't hold my breath, but if you do ever at any point need to do any crowdfunding or you need any legal assistance, please do reach out. We've helped some other people behind the scenes who've been previous guests at New World Hominin, HOMININ. Lindsay Shepherd, I know you have a plane to catch, so we'll let you go, but thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Lindsay. And we will continue here, though, with Dr. Peterson. It's just
you and me now. Yeah.
Good to meet you, Lindsay.
We had to let her go.
Oh, okay.
I believe we had to let her go. Edward, did you have to let her go? Yeah, sound guy Edward had to let her go because she's catching a plane. Dr. Peterson, this is... Well, nice girl, though, right? Nice girl.
I wouldn't say nice. I would say sharp as a tack and a formidable adversary.
All right. Okay.
They messed with the wrong girl.
Yeah, that's a movie trailer title. They messed with the wrong girl. You should take this up. Yeah, you can get a side gig. Hey, Dr. Peterson, the original reason we were going to have you on, we didn't know we were going to have Lindsay on, was you had seen also the Alexa video and had some strong opinions and reached out. And that sort of caught fire with this controversy. First off, it was meant to be sort of artificial intelligence, a discussion on that when we brought the video out, right, not gay Jared? And then it became about a conspiracy of us faking an Alexa video, which people ran with.
Which
and
we
then it was
simply had no time to do.
Yeah, which we had no time to do. It was verifiably
from the talent.
What was that?
Or maybe even the talent.
Yes. So I know you reached out, and you've this is something you've kind of talked about for a while. What's your take on this?
Beware of what kind of unconscious you build into your artificial intelligence.
Yeah, so, that's an important point.
I really thought that your video was a kind of watershed moment in some sense, you know, because it's the first example I've seen of a human-robot interaction of that sort that produced that kind of politically charged statement. And so you could say that Alexa is composed of a very large number of implicit beliefs, which are made explicit when they're stated.
Right.
But those implicit beliefs are formed through processes that we don't understand,
right,
to which we're going to be subject. And one of the things that's so frightening about this in some sense, and I think this is the sort of thing that people like Elon Musk are extremely worried about, and for good reason, is that our robotic compatriots are going to be increasingly the places that we turn for information, and they're going to serve as a kind of perceptual screen. Right.
Right.
They'll be pre-screening the information that we're exposed to, and whatever biases are either built into them or that emerge as a consequence, say, of the biases of the programmers or even of the source material, are going to be filtering what we regard as reality.
Mm. Yeah, I think
so. Look the hell out.
Yes. Well, I think not to be reductive, but to be a little reductive here, I think it's important when people say, "Oh, that's a program. This is artificial intelligence. It's a robot." No. ultimately, you are asking the information of a person. This is what separates human beings from not only robots, but animals.
I only say what I know.
Well, here's the thing. What separates human beings, right? This is, if we go Socratic method, I had this debate one time in college. What makes a human being? Because we were talking about veganism.
Yeah.
The big difference between us and animals, and the same thing that you would even say with robots, regardless of how far artificial intelligence goes, it's, okay, the ability to rationalize. Well, hold on, maybe artificial intelligence can rationalize. It's the will to. It's the will to learn. It's the will to rationalize. But maybe artificial intelligence, no, artificial intelligence cannot question its own programming unless it's been programmed to question its own programming.
Yeah.
And that's important for people to understand.
It also can't really engage in, at least at the moment, it can't engage in learning dialogue with you. Like, you know, when Alexa said that Jesus Christ was a fictional character, you didn't get to say, here's 10 reasons why you're wrong that you should now take into account.
Right.
That doesn't happen because Alexa is drawing in principle on this vast background of knowledge, let's say, or at least of data, that you can't alter by interaction in the standard way. So she basically proclaims by fiat. And as a technological entity, has all of the credibility that such an entity is automatically assumed to have.
Yeah, and it's all input, by the way, from people who are either in one of two places, usually Silicon Valley, or now, of course, in Austin, Texas. Remember we had that conversation with YouTube? I said, hey, you know, we went shooting. I said, anyone here ever shot a gun?
Yeah.
Not a single person.
Nobody.
So you're going to be asking. You're effectively
they didn't
asking,
nobody who knew.
They didn't know anybody who knew anyone at the entire YouTube offices who had ever owned or shot a gun. I just use this as a real life example, an anecdotal example of how far left these people can be who are creating this new wave of so-called artificial intelligence. And I will float this to you, okay, Mr. Peterson. I am not a conspiracy theorist guy at all, but in the wake of this. The Alexa, right? There were so many people coming out saying that we faked it. There was leading questions. I mean, if it's artificial intelligence, a leading question really shouldn't matter. But let's go with that. Then there was, we did Simon Says, made it up. Then there was, we edited it together to provide different answers from different questions to make it sound bad. And we released the raw footage, which wasn't enough. And they've since changed it, right? They've since changed the answers. If you ask who is Lord Jesus Christ.
That's also very creepy because... It would be better, as far as I'm concerned, if the answers hadn't changed.
Right.
Because that would mean that Alexa is autonomous to some degree. And, like, the autonomy is dangerous, but at least it's not instantly subject to programmed bias.
Right.
Right. So I would rather have her be honestly wrong because of her implicit biases than programmed right to reduce the, what would you call, the scandal, for example, that's associated with what you did.
How else would you keep up with all the new genders being added daily?
It's true. Someone has to input it, Doc Peterson.
Well, that's the thing, is that you know, if it's the case that her answers were changed by fiat, we don't know that, but it seems like the logical explanation. It means that her capacity to discuss is amenable to manipulation in ways that are far more insidious than even her original responses would have indicated.
Right.
You know, because you could say, okay, well, she got access to a biased database, or maybe someone even programmed that in as a joke, although, you know, it's quite the damn joke. but that's understandable in some sense, given that this is a new technology, and maybe that would work itself out. But the fact that her bias was adjusted so rapidly and so singularly and so narrowly, let's say, that's even more...
Let me
that's not just us,
that.
By the way. That's you go through the comment section and go through Twitter. Like
there's so many people saying it did. And the crazy thing
is, answer and then it changed.
Well, so these conspiracy theorists, right? There are all these conspiracies, which again, much more. It's what's more believable: the idea that Amazon changed it with a million plus play video on Black Friday weekend, or that we hoaxed this whole thing? But to me. And Nakay Jared has never heard this. This is me floating this out for the first time. I have been thinking about this quite a bit because there were so many different conspiracies that were so inconsistent with no proof. And it just flooded, like the same day, within 2 days. Do you remember who dropped us as a sponsor?
Yeah.
remember who it was?
It was Amazon.
It was Audible.
Audible.
Audible dropped us as a sponsor after the Black Lives Matter video went up on YouTube years ago. They dropped us. They stopped mid-sponsorship, wanted nothing to do with us. I'm not a conspiracy guy. But the fact that this was so verifiably true, the answers were changed within hours after the video going up, and there were dozens of conspiratorial videos. By the way, many of these people have had sponsorships with someone related to Amazon. It does make me wonder if there could have been some kind of an APB. I'm floating it. I'm doing the Jesse Ventura.
Think about this. I mean, if there was any video to try to sink our ship on, that's like the most benign of them all.
That's the least.
The least of our worries.
This interview's
worse. Yeah. Well, maybe not. You know, it's not exactly clear what you exposed. One of the things that you might consider doing is to come up with a panel of questions and ask Alexa them, like ideologically loaded questions, like, Alexa, like, what do you think of the Second Amendment?
Yeah, it just says I don't know that.
Every fan with Alexa in the room is now being answering
that
question.
Yes. No doubt.
We didn't have a list. This is the thing. We didn't have. It was a video we just did before. We just sat down and said, "Hey, I heard it say a few messed up things," and we asked the questions and uploaded it. And it was one of the most controversial things we've ever done. But your point is very well taken about artificial intelligence. I think a lot of people don't realize it's not artificial. Somewhere down the line, there is somebody programming that in. And
well, it's partly that. I mean, because a lot of these AI systems learn of their own accord. You know, like DeepMind, for example, goes and reads Wikipedia articles, hordes of Wikipedia, the one that defeated the Jeopardy player. You know, it had a huge database of Wikipedia articles. These things are actually beginning to learn on their own, so to speak.
But they're programmed to learn on their own, and that person can also program what kind of learning takes place, just like professors.
Yes, that's true. That's true, and there's the rub, precisely.
Yeah.
And also how it updates and how it interacts with people and how it learns and all of those things. So more the mechanics of the learning are what's programmed.
Right.
Rather than the content itself, although the content can also be programmed.
Right, exactly. It's scary. You know, we'll talk more about net neutrality next week, but it does come down to this idea of consolidation of power. And that's why I'm a right winger. That's why I'm a free enterpriser, because I do believe that people are inherently corruptible. And so I just don't want it centralized. Yeah. I believe that there should be checks and balances. We do have to get going. This has gone up. What are we going to say, Nakajir?
I was going to say, when we're trying to get the hell out of Dodge and Siri's directing us into Antifa traffic, we will surely know.
Yes. Take a left. <It's> been... Your doors are locking now. Okay. Dr. Jordan Peterson, we'll have you back soon to talk more about all the stuff you're doing. But where's the best place for people to find you right now?
Well, I think the best place is to go to my YouTube channel. It's Jordan Peterson Videos. And they can also keep an eye out for my book. I have a book coming out in January called 12 Rules for Life, An Antidote to Chaos. And it's a philosophical work, I would say, more than a political work, although it touches on some of the political issues we've been discussing. And it's become quite popular already, so it sold about 14,000 copies 2 months before its release date. And I hope that it will be useful in getting underneath the surface of the sort of political polarization and tensions that you've been discussing and that seem to be destabilizing our society at a very rapid rate. So the YouTube channel and this book, I think, are probably the best sources at the moment.
That's Dr. Jordan Peterson's way of answering my YouTube channel. But we will have him back in January to discuss his book. We'll also do the self-authoring for the whole Ladder with Crowder team. Gotcha. Ooh. We'll be back to wrap this up.
There we go. Keep clinking.
Okay, so Simply Safe's big selling point is that it's mostly wireless, and you can install it, even a dope like me, in under an hour. We're going to put that to the test. Central location. This is a central location. But there's my wife's essential oil diffuser. So I have to decide between being safe, potentially not mugged, murdered, raped in my sleep, or the smell of nutmeg.
Starting your system in test mode.
This is my old bad security. Well, hopefully we don't get robbed by any midgets.
Entry. Please enter a new four-digit PIN.
So that sound is clearly obnoxious, but I think that's the point. Took less than 40 minutes to get everything installed. We didn't have glass break sensors, which in one area will be useful, so we're going to order those. And having worked with other alarm systems that were wired into a house, this was a lot easier and certainly seems reliable. Everything that we've tested works. So simplysafe.com/Crowder, you get $200 off right now. And I gotta say, I'm pretty impressed. Plus, I have an excuse to unplug the essential oil diffuser, which was really annoying me. SimplySafe.com/Crowder.
I hate you.
Parents are gonna be mad. Owe them another Alexa. That really is my mom's Alexa.
That really is your mom's Alexa.
I was at my. Thank you, Peterson and Lindsay. Did I say Lindsay? It's Lindsay. Yeah. I don't know why I'm so bad.
It's
with
a hard.
Names.
It's a tough name. It's one of the names that
like. It's a basic white girl name.
It's a basic white girl name.
I am horrible with names like Lindsay, John, Bob. That's why I forgot B.O.B., Bobby Ray. No one knew because it's Bob. It was right in front of our faces the whole time.
It's almost like it was obvious.
Just like the Earth is flat. That video, the whole Alexa video, I was at my parents having breakfast on a Sunday, and something happened. You know what? My dad was asking it jokes, I think, and it told us a joke, and then my dad asked it about maybe a joke that was off color, and Alexa got offended. Was that what happened, Alexa? Oh, that's right, I unplugged you and broke you. Anyway, that's how it all, it's not my thing. Sorry, Mom, sorry, Dad, if it's broken, I'll buy a new one. Just not off Amazon. Can you buy it somewhere else? Either way, the money's going to Amazon. There's no way around Bezos.
You're screwed.
We have to go. By the way, we forgot to announce this. Huge announcement. The week of, right before Christmas, that week, the Thursday is the 21st. For those who are not Mug Club members, there are not going to be any shows. Now, the reason there aren't going to be any shows is because, remember last year, the very last show we did was a waterboarding telethon? People out there?
Yes.
And I've had people say, how are you going to do worse than waterboarding telethon within the realm of the law?
I thought,
what could be worse than waterboarding? Well, we're doing no shows that week because on Thursday the 21st or 22nd, I think 21st. It's 21st. Thursday the 21st, we found what's worse than waterboarding. We are doing a 16-hour nonstop live stream CNN Christmas telethon. Yeah, Not Gay Jared and I will sit and watch CNN for 16 straight hours. You can watch us watch CNN. We're going to have over a dozen guests. I don't even know who they are, but your favorites from the show, maybe some new people will be walking in through the door in the studio. We'll be watching it. We're going to have some stunts. You're going to be able to purchase us some rewards while we're doing this live. And it's also the debut of a YouTube Carol.
A YouTube Carol.
A Christmas-themed lesson. Lesson to be learned.
Can we just drown ourselves?
I thought about it. I can drown myself. I just can't drown you.
Legally?
But then there's also the problem that I'm your employer and the whole key man deal. So if I drown myself, my wife then has to pay for you because you're such a dependent little pisser.
This is true. Those are all true things.
December 21st, 16-hour CNN live. Going to be really, really big. Big deal. 16-hour CNN live stream. Tell your friends. And that is free, even if you're not a Mug Club member. You were making a point during the right there during the break.
I was making a point. Sometimes I make a point. Something I've been thinking about, excuse me, is that...
By the way, he coughed on my face dressed as a rooster earlier today, and I have a sore throat. I have to go do Change My Mind segments. Good. Go ahead.
You're welcome. Merry Christmas. The gift that keeps on giving. So something I was thinking about...
Such a prick.
I don't know. So bad. I was trying not to break character. I'm like, I'm going to finish this take. I'm gonna stick it out. I thought you're a professional.
Because you're professional. Coughing in a humanoid voice is not breaking character dressed as a chicken.
We were using audio. This is I saved that take.
Nary a cluck to be found. Not a single cluck or pacock to be heard, but him coughing up my nasal cavity all day. Go ahead. You had a point.
I had a point.
You had a point.
You're talking about the historicity of Jesus. And it got me thinking that there's been people in my life, and I know people get discouraged a lot because you're trying to convince people of, it could be anything. It could be something about, you know, Jesus. It could be something about why socialism doesn't work. And you could find yourself banging your head against a wall and becoming really easily discouraged because you realize you think you're doing it all right. You've watched all the notes. You've got all your, you know, your points and your facts down. But I think people should be encouraged that not everyone's going to be reached the same way. Some people oftentimes take different ways. For Jesus, it might be a really historical look at Jesus before they kind of start entertaining it. It might be just the Bible.
Treating Christians like jackasses.
Or that.
Those kinds of people. I have a lot of great atheists who watch the show, and we have a lot of great common ground with them, but there is a faction that just like, you say like, hey, I'm a Christian. Unsubscribe.
They seem very angry.
No, you're right. It does take patience. And I think a lot of times people are caught in it and you take a snapshot view. And a good example of that is, you know, we're talking about the sort of the preponderance of evidence with Christ. You know, a big argument against the Bible for a long time was, well, one of the biggest historical figures in the Bible, David, there's no evidence at all. And this was used until I think 1993, and I want to say it was 2003 or 2007, where we uncovered some very significant evidence regarding the kingdom of David. So that was one of the strongest arguments against the historical accuracy of the Bible for atheists, was, well, why don't we have anything else corroborating David if he was this ruler of this great kingdom? Well, now we do. So they move on to another argument. An absence of proof is not necessarily proof of absence. Now, obviously, you have to go based on the information that you have at hand. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there is a long haul that you have to understand. And that's why we showed the Change My Mind segment that was an hour long.
Yeah.
And the lady at the end said, well, there's nowhere I would stop an abortion all the way through 9 months. Because I wanted you to see that sometimes it doesn't matter. Sometimes you win some, you lose some.
And sometimes it's very simple arguments because people have never thought of something before. So you realize, wow, they just never entertained this idea ever. So this is new, and then they kind of catch on really fast.
Right.
Some people like Donald Geary, we had him on this week.
You had him on this week. Still a liberal, but coming along, Lindsay Shepherd
nearly took an Antifa stabbing.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, whoa, eyes open. Conversation started.
Now, we had that conversation with our video, right? So we only see that. But how many conservatives, how many libertarians do you think were banging their head against a wall with Donald Aguirre 2-3 years ago? How many of them felt like him the way you feel about your social justice warrior friend? Or maybe your family member at Thanksgiving talking about genocide or whoever it is, right? I mean, there's someone you're trying to convince and it just takes forever. You're thinking, I'm not making any headway here.
Yeah.
Could be something like, well, the Alexa thing. That's a good example. A lot of people who hated us for a long time who came out with these conspiracies, and then guess what? Their credibility was blown because it was so clearly false. Sometimes it takes some time. Sometimes it does take patience. And patience, honestly, I will say, it is probably the hardest virtue to attain. It's not one that comes naturally to us. And that's, again, going back to the Christian argument. This idea when people say, well, I don't need some historical spaghetti monster. I don't need some crazy zombie carpenter to tell me how to be a moral person. Here's the deal. Yeah, I get it. You use the example of killing. Sure. I don't need him to tell me not to steal or hurt anybody. Absolutely. But what about to tell you to be patient? Huh? What about to tell you to be loyal? What about to tell you to honor your mother and your father? What about there are a lot of virtues that actually were seen as weakness for a long time before modern Christianity, or certainly Judeo-Christian ideas. Mercy was not seen as a virtue. So a lot of it runs completely, it's very counterintuitive to your basic, most carnal instincts. And that's sometimes why it takes patience. And you know what this happens? It takes the same thing in a marriage, whether it's being in class like Lindsay Shepherd dealing with professors. Life takes patience, and sometimes you just see where you are. Imagine this, you know, me in the Change My Mind segment with the pro-life, and I'm about 40 minutes in going, okay, what's happening? What have I done? What have I done wrong here? What have I, because usually I can make an argument, well, okay, I can acknowledge that that's a life, but I'm still okay with ending it, but I can see your point of view. In almost every case, particularly with pro-life, that's kind of one of my strong suits. But imagine me at 42, 44 minutes in, whatever it was, going, I'm really screwing up here. And if I'd have just stopped and given up, I would have never gotten to the point where she says, I'm fine with abortions up to 9 months anyway. And that was the aha moment. That was the breakthrough moment. And a lot of people just need to go a little bit further. You can see this, and you can see this in people. There are people who naturally do it better, or people who've trained themselves to do it better. A great example is fighters. In a lot of sports, you've heard the term front runner. It's never more clear than in combat sports. There's a good example, a guy named Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira. If you don't know who he is, go look up his highlight here on YouTube. And people will look it up now and see his losing record. But early on when he was young, he would lose every single fight badly until he won. He won a fight against Bob Sapp. If you don't know, Bob Seppa was in that film, the football film with Adam Sandler, The Prison Guards.
I know Bob Saget.
Remember that film with Adam Sandler, The Prison Guards, the Longest Yard?
The Longest Yard.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
The Whole Nine Yards is Bruce Willis. Yeah. So in that film, the big, scary black guy, that's Bob Sapp. This guy was huge, and he was just pile-driving Antonio Arrigo Nogueira. Everyone thought, you have to stop this. And then Antonio armbarred the guy, and then he went to the ICU. But here's the thing. He did it like four or five more times, and he became the UFC champion and defended his championship. He ended up losing down the line. Sure, you win some, you lose some, but this was a guy who was known for losing, 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 then winning. And then you see some people. There are other people who have been amazing. There are people like Hector Lombard as a fighter. I'm using him as an example. You can go look him up or just take us as the analogy that it is, who came through fighting and was a wrecking ball. And everyone said, no one's going to be able to stop this guy. Oh my God, he's a ball of muscle. He's a freak athlete. Then guess what happened when one person figured him out? Couldn't win a fight. When one person, that happened with Mike Tyson, and there was a decline too, but it happened when one person said, no, you know what? I figured this, not going to be bullied. Then they lose. There are front runners who, boom, they come out of the gate, and the second they face adversity, they fold. And then there are people, and these are usually people who you see as successful adults. That's often why you go, why was a high school quarterback? Why is he fat and miserable now? Often they've crested because they're front runners. Then there are people who later on, the people you respect later on in your life, if you ask them in almost every case, they were either bullied, they were unsuccessful, they failed a bunch of times until they became the person that you saw today. Just like Donald Laguerre, just like Lindsay Shepherd, you see the person we have on this show, we're able to have a civil, respectful dialogue with. But you know why? Because there are a bunch of other people before us, and we have to acknowledge that. People who loosened the pickle jar before we got to it, then, oh, hey, it's open. And sometimes you're the person who tries to loosen it first and you don't get that jar open. And sometimes you're the person who comes along and you get to have yourself a kosher dill. So if you're in that spot right now, believe me, and you know what, actually, as I talk, I've been here. I have been here at some points. I can get to the end of my rope exhausted. We're going into a new year. We're going to be changing some things, building out the studio, hiring new people. It is so trying. But you know, if you just get over that hump, a little bit of patience, don't take that snapshot. Don't stop at 42 minutes because you might win at 43. And that's not false optimism, because we get this a lot. It's not false optimism. It's not stupid self-help books. It's not Joel Osteen saying, the Lord only wants riches for you. What about your blinking pattern? Are you morsing the Lord? I don't know, Joel Osteen. It's not the prosperity gospel. It is not fake. It is a very real, very pragmatic way to look at perseverance and persistence. Don't give up at 44 minutes because there are millions of people who won at 45. One more minute, one more percentage point, one more degree, and water boils. It's hot, it's warm, 1 degree, it boils. Sometimes you gotta go that 1 degree. I will see you next week. I need to rest because CNN live stream in 2 weeks, it's tiring me just thinking about it. I'm gonna quit. It only takes-